It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
This is Trey. Thank you for joining us for a Tuesday edition of our podcast. We are grateful for your time and hope that your spring is off to a great start. Anger needs a home, needs a place to live. Sometimes anger needs to take a nap and then start looking for a new place to live. Put differently, our anger needs what is very hard for many of us, me included, but necessary nonetheless sometimes, which is a stern talking to about readjusted expectations and being properly targeted. And what I mean by that is every now and again, I will bump in to this new little island that my wife has in our kitchen. And when I say every once and again, I mean like 100 times, my reaction is to get mad at the island. It's been there for months now. It's not moving. It doesn't chase me around. It's stationary. But when something happens, if we, you know, hit our finger with a hammer, our first reaction is probably to be mad at the hammer, not to be mad at ourselves. Eventually, we come around to the conclusion that the island hasn't moved. It's not chasing me around. It's not darting in front of me. I'm just too slow-witted to know that there's something new in the kitchen. When it comes to politics, anger is usually the result of unmet expectations. We thought this would happen, but it did not, or worse yet, the opposite happened. We thought we would get this legislation passed or this legislation repealed and see this consequence or this result, and we're disappointed, we're disillusioned, fearful, all of which are precursors to anger. So us being us, we usually do not look to ourselves first when we're angry. I don't, at least. We look to others. It's human nature. That's not a criticism so much as it is a critique. It's just the way we're wired, and it's been around since the dawn of humankind. We almost have to retrain our minds to stop, reflect, and then find the root source of what really has us confounded and vexed. The speaker, the majority leader, the governor, or someone else should have done something else. That's usually where we start. Sometimes we're right to be upset, disappointed. Sometimes our expectations were boosted or bolstered improvidently. Regardless of all of that, anger does not stay homeless for very long. It usually finds a home. It needs a home. It just needs the right home, but it definitely finds a home. Last week, the House passed a spending bill, which more Democrats voted for than Republicans voted for. So a GOP House majority relied on the other side to pass a bill, so the anger began to roll down like thunder. Anger directed at new Speaker Mike Johnson, who about 3 months ago was a rock-solid conservative man of unfailing religious faith, and now apparently he's worthy in the eyes of some of being removed from office, at least according to one representative who filed a motion to vacate the chair and kick him out. Even some Republicans who don't necessarily want to kick him out still want to kick him. You know, they say they're let down. They were sold out. He's not doing this. He's not doing that. There's anger. There's anger. But is it well placed? Is it in the right location? So let's overlook the reality that oftentimes the most upset colleagues in the House are the ones who stand the least chance of ever being elected to anything themselves. I mean, that should tell you something. The ones with the so-called great ideas can't get elected by the people who know them best and work with them the closest. But that's a conversation for another day. Today is about the legal residence for our anger. And I would invite that anger to look back to 2021, two GOP senators were up for re-election in Georgia. They both lost. That gave President Biden the House and the Senate. You take away the Senate, and it was a very different opening to the ball game. The entirety of President Biden's first term would have been different had the GOP won two incumbent Senate races in a red state. So why did they lose? How did two incumbent GOP senators, it is so hard to beat an incumbent. Imagine beating an incumbent Republican in a red state. So how did two GOP incumbent senators lose when control of government was literally on the ballot? Control of the Senate, for sure. You could argue control of government was on the ballot. What issues did they run on? What did they tell the voters that was so unconvincing? I mean, Brian Kemp was a Republican governor. He won statewide. So did most other statewide Republicans in Georgia. Most House members in Georgia are Republican. The two state houses in Georgia are Republican. So how and why did two candidates lose in the races where they were needed the most? That is what we should be asking ourselves. What happened? What happened during those runoffs? Who was doing most of the talking, and what was he or she doing most of the talking about? And then the anger should get in the car with its realtor and go visit the midterms from November of 2022. It was supposed to be a red wave. I remember hearing that even a Washington State U.S. Senate seat might be in play. The governorship of Michigan was in play. The governorship of Pennsylvania, the Senate seat in Pennsylvania. There were delusions of grandeur about picking up seats in the House and controlling the Senate. You want to render a presidency utterly ineffective. Control the House and the Senate. But, of course, the Senate was not won. Actually, the GOP lost Senate seats. And the House was narrowly won, creating an environment where the members on the GOP side must stick together, must hang together, or they will surely hang separately and accomplish nothing. And this is where we have a choice. Either the losses were due to bad candidates, or they were due to good candidates with bad positions. It does not get you very far in life to blame the jury, to blame the voters, because that's the group that you have to go right back in front of again in 2 years. It just never made sense for a prosecutor to blame the jury, and then later that week you had to go right back in front of that jury. You better change, because they're likely not going to. So we can blame the voters, but it's the exact same voters that you're trying to persuade again in 2 years or 4 years. So I think your time is better spent trying to understand what it was that made them do what they did. And you have to ask, who mismanaged your expectations so mightily that you went into election night thinking it would be a landslide and wound up looking more like the electric slide from a 50-year-old high school reunion? So you barely have the House, you don't have the Senate at all, you don't have the White House. What is a reasonable expectation? To me, and what I argued at the time, not to say I told you so, but I did argue at the time, a reasonable expectation is to stop bad things from happening. That is the best you can hope for. Stop bad things that cannot be undone, and then live to fight again in 2 years or 4 years or 6 years. That's the best that can be done when you have one half of one third of government. And that is where the anger should live. That is where it should reside. Not with Mike Johnson, but with years ago. And if that's too far in the past, if people don't want to look that far in the past, if people don't want to look at the proper source of their anger, then at least at a minimum, go back to last October. House Republicans were actually exceeding expectations in some regards, which is exceedingly rare in politics. I remember reading stories about how upset Democrats were at Joe Biden because the House Republicans got a better deal than they should have on the debt ceiling. The New York Times was mad. The Washington Post was mad. House Democrats were mad because here was this little old GOP House of Representatives punching above its weight and not only stopping bad things from happening, but actually clawing back a little bit. I mean, Democrats were mad at McCarthy because they thought he got the better of Biden. I mean, well, Democrats don't really need a reason to be mad at McCarthy. Neither did the D.C. media, assuming those are two different things, which I don't make that assumption. But I just remember there was this feeling over the summer that for once in our lifetimes, actually, our expectations might have been slightly being exceeded, given how low they were. I mean, again, we weren't expecting transformative change with one half of one third of government. We were just expecting to stop bad things from happening. There was a new China committee. There were investigations into influence peddling. The border was being highlighted, although it wasn't being secured. The House was doing what it rarely, if ever, does, which is actually possibly meeting the expectations for what could be done, given the narrow margin and the fact that you didn't have the Senate and you didn't have the White House and God knows you didn't have the D.C. media. Make no mistake, success is not how you and I would define it if we control government. Our definition of success should change if you have the House, the Senate, and the White House. Your definition of success should be realistic when you don't have but one half of one of those. I mean, you're right to expect border security. You're right to expect spending restraint. You're right to demand it when you have the gears of government. But I think a realistic expectation is just stopping bad things and then hoping for some modest success when you have far less than all of the gears of government. But anger found a home. It found a home in a guy named Kevin McCarthy. He was the one to blame. So he was deposed. It took a long time, but Mike Johnson was picked to replace him. And again, the anger should have been directed at the eight members who were responsible for this chaotic undertaking of which we are still dealing with consequences. But that's not where the anger was directed even last October. It was directed at Stevie Scalise, remember? He ran and lost to replace Kevin McCarthy. You know, Steve Scalise was all the things you wanted until it was time to do the picking. And then they didn't pick him. And then Jimmy Jordan was as authentically conservative as it gets until it was time to pick him. And then they didn't pick him. And then Tom Emmer, who was responsible for whatever modest success we did have, particularly in New York and California, along with the candidates. But they didn't pick him. So anger, which should have been directed at eight people who linked arms with Rashida Tlaib, instead was directed at Stevie Scalise and Jimmy Jordan and Tom Emmer. And then others who might have considered running knew not to run because the anger was being misdirected. It was misdirected at McCarthy. It's being misdirected at the people who sought to replace McCarthy. It was never directed at those responsible for creating the chaos in the first place. Although it is right now. It's beginning. People are beginning to see the roots of this chaotic dysfunction that we are currently experiencing. But that anger or embarrassment subsided long enough to elevate Mike Johnson to the speakership. And we were told, especially by the eight, that everything would be better now. We had a red state Republican. We had a real conservative, not some guy from California. And the reality is, not much of anything changed because not much of anything could change. Not only did you have a narrow majority in the House, and that's it, you actually had a narrower majority in the House. So the same unrealistic expectations that were wrapped around McCarthy's neck were wrapped around Mike Johnson's neck. And just like McCarthy did the best he could, Mike Johnson is doing the best he can. The anger should lie with why they had so little to work with. That's where the anger should lie. Why was the House majority so narrow? Why can Republicans not even stick together long enough to put Republican bills on the floor? Why do Republicans fundraise off of criticizing other Republicans? That's where the anger should lie. But again, anger sometimes goes and lives in the wrong house. I mean, the fact is that not much has changed since they replaced Speaker McCarthy with Speaker Johnson. then that is not Speaker Johnson's fault any more than it was Speaker McCarthy's fault. And now the margin is next to nothing. Members are leaving, and that's actually a good thing. People should leave politics. Some of the folks who talk about term limits the most never seem to believe in them enough to actually practice it. Leaving is good. Just don't leave the place worse than you found it. And in my judgment, and some of these folks are my friends, but I'm going to say this anyway, don't leave before your time is up. I left. I am sure, if I think back upon it, I wanted to leave early. I'm positive I did. I mean, there is nothing deader than a soon-to-be retiring member of Congress. People don't care. I mean, I was a committee chair when I decided to leave. And I don't mean one who was like term limited or boxed out from, I had four more years as the chair of a committee or the ranking member. There's nothing deader than a soon-to-be retiring member of Congress. And I am sure there's a big part of me that wanted to leave early, but I did not. Others have, and others will, but I stuck it out to the bitter end. And so the fact that members are leaving means that once narrow majority has become a next to nothing majority. But one should ask themselves why folks are leaving, and then look at the ones who would give everything they have to stay. The ones who would move clear across a state to keep an office they claim to hate and work in a city they claim to despise, and try to figure out what sense that makes. We'll be right back with more of the Trey Gowdy Podcast.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick the Show as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform, and watch directly on outkick.com/watch.
So Mike Johnson had a small minority, Members left. It's now razor thin. He never had the Senate. He doesn't have the White House. Polling consistently shows Republicans lose in the court of opinion when it comes to shutdowns. They never get the policy victories that you're promised when you get fundraising solicitations about shutting down government over Obamacare, or shutting down government over defunding this or defunding that. You never, ever get the policy victories. You just get the low poll numbers and pay the price. Shutdowns and rumors of shutdowns are good for fundraising. They're good for the allegedly pure in heart to pound their chest about how they could cut spending, ignoring the fact that they actually didn't cut spending when they actually could. When Republicans had the House, the Senate, and the White House, the deficit remained to grow. They remained growing like a wild weed. So if we're going to be angry, let's be angry at being misled. And it wasn't the Speaker, McCarthy or Johnson, who did the misleading. Be disappointed in those who promised you radical change with one half or one third of government. Be disappointed in those who complain about spending bills not coming to the floor of the House, but then vote against those very spending bills from coming to the floor of the House. Be disappointed at those who present themselves as ideologically pure when, in fact, they're simply hustling for money. You know, every now and again, the truth will slip out, no matter how closely you guard it or how thick the prison walls are. Every now and again, the truth will slip out. The member of Congress who filed the motion to vacate on Mike Johnson pointed out that the eight who went after Kevin McCarthy had raised a lot of money in the process. They went on TV. They gave us their website domain addresses. They claimed to be victims. They claimed to be attacked by the uniparty, the deep state, and they needed your help. Being a victim and voting with Ilhan Omar, Adam Schiff, Eric Swalwell, and Rashida Tlaib are two different things. They do not go together. Being a victim and linking arms with Adam Schiff and the squad are two different things. The so-called real conservatives complain about the so-called uniparty, a creature that allegedly makes it impossible to distinguish between Republicans and Democrats. The uniparty is really when you vote like Democrats. And these eight voted with every single Democrat, and you got nothing but chaos in the process. No changes, no reduction in spending, no term limits, no border security. So what has been improved? what has been made better? Who has been impeached and convicted, if that's what you're looking for? Remember, the eight who got rid of Speaker McCarthy cited the failure to call Hunter Biden as a witness as one reason to get rid of then Speaker McCarthy. Well, Biden came. How did that turn out? Did it change the outcome? Is anybody headed to the penitentiary? Is his father impeached? Was his father convicted? What changed? You should have high expectations for those you elect. Those who represent you, you should expect the truth. You should expect them to honor their time in office unless there's some compelling family reason or emergency not to do so. You should expect realistic expectations to be set and met. But when you're disappointed, let down, frustrated, the anger must find the right house to go live in, the right house in which to take up residency. And sometimes the anger just needs to take a nap and wait for the day of reckoning. If you want Mike Johnson to do more, then you must give him more than a narrow majority. You really have to give him the Senate. I mean, if you really, really, really want to fundamentally change the country, you have to have the House, the Senate, and the White House. Otherwise, he's playing defense. And he's playing defense on a team where he has to watch both his front and his back for knives. So the anger should really be directed at those who put their own fame and notoriety and political ambition and fundraising ahead of what is best for the country. And that is where the anger should live. Losing two eminently winnable GOP Senate seats in Georgia, losing winnable races in November of 2022, and then the eight who could not get rid of enough Democrats in the midterms decided to get rid of one of their own Republicans. The ones who complained the most about working with Democrats worked with every single Democrat to get rid of a speaker who had the support of 96% of his GOP colleagues. So if the anger is looking for a place to live, that looks like the right house to me. I'll see you next week. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. In these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.